I have a little bit of to wrap up on our first subjects. Then I would like to share with you a sort of a meditation on the novena. But let's do a little bit more on the how we pray and act in the divine will so that you understand it a little bit better. A real nice formula, if you have a pencil, you might want to write it down. I didn't think I could have put it on your paper, but you may know this already. But it's just, it's a little formula that you can use to kind of establish in your mind the how-to when you're putting your acts in the divine will. And then with Jesus and his love in your hearts and your knowledge, you'll find that you'll be inspired to do this in 1,000 different ways. But one simple way is come divine will and blank in my blanking. So you fill in the blanks with whatever you're doing. Come divine will and talk in my talking. Come divine will and hear in my hearing. Come divine will and walk in my walking. Come divine will and love in my loving. Come divine will and pray in my praying. Okay? And then it continues. Take our blank, whatever it is, our prayer, our love, our acting, our walking, and offer it to yourself as ours to give the Father the glory as if all creatures had done it. See how nice that is? So, in other words, come divine will and speak in my speaking. Take my words and offer them to yourself as your own to give the Father the glory as if all his creatures were speaking to you. See? So, in other words, we're invoking the divine will. We're asking God to come in and partake and participate in whatever we're doing. Then we're asking him to offer it to himself, because if he's in me doing it, it's already his. And then to offer it to himself, meaning to the Trinity, to God, to give God the glory of that divine act, which is what he wants, but not just for me, but for everybody. See how nice that is? That's really the core concept of our praying in the divine will. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. There's a prayer in the Byzantine liturgy, a Eucharistic prayer, that is beautiful, expresses the same thing. It says, we offer to you, O Lord, yours of your own, meaning the Eucharist, for all and on behalf of all. Isn't that nice? It's the same idea. Another way to say it is, I'll slow down. I'll repeat the first one for you. Come divine will and write in my writing. I think you've already said this, haven't you? Take my words, my writing, and make it yours. And offer to yourself on behalf, for the glory of God and on behalf of all mankind. I'll say it again. Come divine will and work in my working. Take my work and offer it to yourself as ours to give the Father the glory as if all had worked. Okay. You'll find a million of them. I found one that I thought was the best so far. Maybe you'll come up with a better one. See, we'll talk about this in a minute, that we have to say yes, our fiat to God. We have to take that act in our own hearts and saying yes to his will. So I came up with this one. Come divine will and say yes in my saying yes. Take my yes and offer to yourself as your yes to give the Father the glory as if all creatures had said yes. See how nice? It's just, you do that in everything that you do. That's going to just put your heart in the disposition of always remembering to invoke and invite the divine will, the Trinity. When you invite the divine will, you're inviting all of heaven, okay? It's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Our Lady, all the angels, all the saints, and all creation. Everything that's in harmony with God is part of the divine will. So whenever you invoke the divine will, you're invoking everything that God is. So, you know, you can do it in so many ways. You could say, come Lord Jesus and pray in my praying, or come Heavenly Father, or come Holy Spirit, or come divine will. Because when God comes, everything comes anyway. Another beautiful prayer, this was taught to me by a very sincere man who's been doing this for many years. And I don't know if it was his own inspiration or if he found it somewhere in the writings, but it's a very pretty prayer. It says, Lord, let everyone who sees me today see you and be saved. Lord, let everyone who hears me today hear you and be saved. Isn't that nice? Because if God is in me and speaking in me, then hopefully they would see and hear God in me. Another thing that our Lord tells us, I think it's in volume 16 when you get there, he talks about the sacraments and how he longs to have the exchange of love in his sacraments, and that he doesn't receive it, not even often from the priests. So whenever you receive a sacrament, especially the Eucharist, you should really be offering the Lord that exchange of love. There is no greater love than the Eucharist. So Jesus, I unite this Eucharist, which I'm about to receive, with every Eucharist, past, present, and future, in the divine will, and I offer you the exchange of love in the Eucharist for myself and for all creatures, for all those who have received it unworthily or who have not given you the love which you deserve in the Eucharist. See how nice that is? It's very simple, but we're offering him the exchange of love in every act that we do, but not just for us, but for everybody. And you see, the marvelous part of that is that we who have been called now to have this knowledge, to begin to do our work and our activity as if we were in the earthly kingdom already, that we have the opportunity to restore and restitute the acts of all of our brothers and sisters, just as Jesus restituted our acts, just as we become co-redeemers by suffering and offering and praying for others, so too we participate in his work of restitution by offering and uniting our acts with everyone else too. It's the same as when we pray for the holy souls in purgatory. Now we restore their acts too. We ask all of this to be done for everybody. That's what our Lord will call his, what's the word? In the divine will it went away. But it's one of these aspects of his love. We'll see it in the novena in a minute. So always on behalf of everyone. I thought once, Jesus said in to Louisa that in paradise, Adam and Eve never had to pray because God was with them. And prayer is raising our minds and hearts to God and asking. And since they had everything and God was already one with them, they didn't have any need to pray. So I sat down one day and I started thinking about it. And I said, well, what does heaven do then, you know, all day long? And I thought, well, they see God. So I said, they must adore God all the time. You know, we're always praying and calling out. They must always be in adoration. Then I thought about the earth, and I said, well, God still wants us to be saved. And we're praying for our redemption. Our Lady's praying for our redemption. Jesus prayed on earth for our redemption. So then I thought, heaven must pray too. But they're not praying for themselves because they have no need to pray for themselves or to call out to God that way. But I envisioned in my mind that this might be the way heaven prayed, that if heaven, if you were a saint in heaven, would be looking down on the earth and seeing all of us wayward children, and with the same love that is the love of God himself, reaching out and embracing the whole earth, raising it up to the Father and saying, Father, save your children, you know, like Our Lady would be doing, Father, send your spirit, Father, you know, save your... So I could see that as an activity maybe of the saints in heaven, who they would have that same desire for our salvation. And so in the divine will, in our prayer and in our life and love for God in his will, we would have that same love for souls. We would have the same desire that God has. Every desire of his is ours. Every thought of his is ours. Every movement of his is ours and ours his. So we would be concerned about the same things. And so in the divine will, and you'll see this with Louisa too, always for everybody and always with that great love for souls and for the holy souls. So always past, present, and future, all the souls and for everybody, all united together.